This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Cake Wallet.
In 2003, a Pentagon spy satellite detected a massive chamber deep inside Romania's Buzej Mountains. Under the Romanian Sphinx, beneath 200 feet of solid rock, was a huge dome-shaped room. The Pentagon had seen this before. Just months earlier, a similar underground chamber was discovered in Iraq. But the Romanian chamber had one big difference. It was surrounded by an energy field. Then the call came in. As soon as the Romanian site was scanned, the Baghdad site turned on. Same energy signature. This caught the attention of an organization older than any government and more powerful. They'd been searching for this chamber for centuries. They knew what was inside, and they knew only one person on Earth could open it.
I was just about to enjoy some little me time.
Look, I just won the Super High Roller Bowl. 250,000 in clean, honest, legitimate clams.
Well, congrats. Now you can finally pay me back for all those charges to the company card.
Now's not the time for jokes, human. The bank froze my account. Apparently wiring 250 grand to my Blorpus Paradise LLC triggers some kind of federal alert.
Blorpus Paradise? That's like begging for a tax audit.
And the Beaver Brothers show up saying I gotta pay them for protection. Protection from what? I'm already living in a glass prison. And Oprah's probably behind all of it anyway. She's got eyes everywhere.
Oprah?
The actress, producer, author, philanthropist, and media mogul. She's best known for hosting the Oprah Winfrey Show.
I know who Oprah is. What's your plan?
My plan was to stuff as many coins as possible in your toilet tank.
Is that why it smells like wet nickels in there? Look, you could just use Cake Wallet.
Wait, did you just deal me into today's sponsor?
You bet I did. Cake Wallet is your own private wallet for modern digital cash. No banks, no delays, no middlemen. It's free, open source, and offers industry-leading privacy features to keep you safe. Cake Wallet makes getting started with crypto simple, secure, and completely under your control. Even if you don't own any yet, you can buy and sell right in the app using a variety of methods around the world. And setting up is easier than opening a bank account. But unlike a bank, only you have access to your money. It's your own personal digital safe, all from your phone. When you're ready to spend, Cake Pay lets you use your crypto almost anywhere you shop, online or in person, no bank needed. From everyday essentials to your favorite brands, it turns your crypto into real-world spending power. That's financial freedom made simple. Not only can you spend your crypto with Cake Pay, you can also send and receive it directly using Bitcoin, Monero, Litecoin, and more, all with industry-leading privacy features to keep your financial info safe. Crypto can seem complicated, but whether you're just starting out or already know the ropes, Cake Wallet makes it easy for everyone, and it's completely free to download from your app store. Start your crypto journey for free with Cake Wallet by clicking the link in the description.
All right, human, I'll use Cake Wallet, but if the beaters ask, you never saw me.
I never saw you.
And if Oprah calls?
I don't know you.
You're learning.
The story begins in Romania, 1970. From the moment Cezar Brod was born, everyone knew something was different. Doctors couldn't cut his umbilical cord. Scissors couldn't cut it. A scalpel couldn't. It took a bone saw. The hospital had orders to report any unusual births to the Securitate, Romania's secret police. Agents arrived and destroyed all records of Cezar's birth. His life was a state secret before he was a day old. As a child, Cezar never cried. By age 3, he hadn't spoken a single word. Then one day, his mother sketched a pattern of circles. Cezar froze. He stared at the drawing for nearly 24 hours. The Securitate sent a specialist, a Chinese scientist named Dr. Xian. Dr. Xian said he was deep in meditation. They should just let him finish. When Cezar finally broke his trance, he spoke. Not in baby talk, in full, complex sentences. His abilities developed quickly. Photographic memory. Precognition. One weekend, he told his aunt not to visit. She came anyway and died in a car crash. Those predictions pleased Dr. Xian, but they upset his mother, so Cezar learned to hide his abilities. But he couldn't hide what happened one night in 1980 when his mother walked into his bedroom.
How did this happen to me? So embarrassing. Even now, I can't think about it without my face getting hot.
She found him levitating 3 feet above his bed, deep in a trance.
Oh, that's not the... Forget what I said earlier, huh?
That night, the Securitate came and they took 10-year-old Cesar away. He never saw his parents again. He was taken to Department Zero, DZ, Romania's most secret intelligence unit. Its purpose was to investigate and weaponize psychic phenomena, similar to the CIA's Project Stargate. At a secret base in the mountains, DZ trained children with psychic abilities, and now they had their star. In 1986, the head of Department Zero took Cesar to meet a dying priest. Father Arsenie Boca was Romania's most revered holy man. He had a message, a prophecy. He said a discovery was coming to Romania that would change the world. There would be a battle against a poisonous hydra with many heads, and only one man in the world could save them. Then Father Boca looked directly at Cesar and spoke his final words. He said, "That man is you." Sixteen years after Father Boca's prophecy, the first head of the Hydra arrived at Department Zero. By May 2002, Cesar Brod was the director of DZ when a powerful man requested a private meeting. Signore Massini was an Italian nobleman of immense wealth and influence. He was also a high-ranking member of the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah, there it is. Illuminati.
Yep. Massini walked into Cesar's office like he owned it. No handshake, no hello. He explained who he was and made Cesar an offer. Join us and you'll have access to unlimited resources.
You could be an important driving force in that council, and you could acquire anything you have ever dreamed of in this world, and rule over everything you want. Wealth, people, luxury, laws, and even governments. Nothing could stop you.
Cesar was quiet. He didn't say yes, but he didn't say no.
Hero's journey.
What?
This story is the hero's journey. You got the special kid in an ordinary world. The Chinese guy's the mentor. This part's called The Call to Adventure, but he refuses the call. Star Wars, Matrix, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. It's our hero's journey formula.
Would you please...
The next step in the formula is...
Please don't.
Next, he answers the call, faces enemies and challenges, and enters the inmost cave.
You're giving away the entire story.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help.
Stop helping.
Fine.
Thank you.
You don't have to be a dick about it.
Massini said the Bilderberg Group's true goal was absolute global control, and they didn't need an army to achieve it. Signore Massini sat with Cesar Brod and explained how the Bilderberg Group controlled much of the world and planned to control it all. Money was their primary weapon. They created the modern banking system to trap humanity in an endless cycle of income and consumption. People need income. Income requires work. Work takes time and energy. No time to think, no energy to resist. The cycle continues. He said they control the global media. They use it to manage information, to promote decadence, and weaken people's will.
Modern society is a perfect fit to this design. Given the huge technological progress we have allowed, we offer more and more temptations, and the people easily fall victims to various sense gratifications and stimuli. We are perfectly aware their willpower will soon be exhausted, and without resoluteness, humans are like stupid animals on their way to the slaughterhouse.
Massini said democracy was their greatest creation. People think they're choosing their leaders, but every candidate is pre-selected. The illusion of choice keeps the population compliant. The organization had three levels. At the bottom, daily workers, politicians and business leaders who had no idea about the real agenda. The middle tier was the Masons. They carried out the global plan. They didn't know the whole truth either. They still thought they were serving humanity. But at the top, the Elder Council, the Illuminati, 300 people who really run the world. Massini leaned back, satisfied with his speech. Massini had revealed their entire operation, a complete confession. He wasn't asking Cesar to join, he was telling him.
We do not negotiate because what we offer is huge. What would be the point in having any other useless discussions when things are so clear? And to be honest, there is no other option for you but to take our offer.
Cesar knew Massini was right. If he refused, it would be bad for him and Department Zero. He agreed to cooperate, but he was playing a game. But so was Massini. They didn't trust each other, but they needed each other. A few months later, Massini returned. This time he wasn't recruiting, he had information from the Pentagon. Father Boca's prophecy was coming true. Father Boca's prophecy was coming true, and Messini had the proof. Messini returned to Alpha Base with top-secret satellite data from the Pentagon. A U.S. spy satellite, using technology reverse-engineered from alien spacecraft, had detected a massive chamber inside Romania's Bujej Mountains. It could see through 200 feet of solid granite. It detected a long corridor and a massive dome, protected by two energy barriers. The Pentagon had seen this before, in Iraq. A few months earlier, they'd found an identical structure near Baghdad. Same design, same energy signature. Messini claimed the 2003 invasion of Iraq wasn't about weapons of mass destruction. It was about taking control of that ancient site and begin drilling.
The U.S. military had advanced drilling technology that could handle the rock. A focused jet of superheated plasma combined with a rotating magnetic field. Instead of breaking rock, it melted it into tunnels as smooth as glass. The Americans had been developing it for years, probably from recovered craft. The problem wasn't the rock. It was the energy barrier.
Hey, pop quiz. What war has America been in that wasn't based on propaganda? Yeah.
Well, that's why Messini was here. The Bilderberg Group had members in the Pentagon. They knew about both sites. They wanted control. But they needed someone who could get past that barrier. Messini's offer was simple. The Bilderbergs would provide the drilling technology. In exchange, they wanted full access to whatever was inside. Cesar knew this was bigger than any government. Two identical sites, an ancient network. The builders left them for a reason. He agreed. 3 months later, plasma drills were cutting through the Bujej Mountains. What they found had been hidden for 50,000 years. The plasma drills cut through 200 feet of solid granite in just 6 hours, creating a tunnel with walls as smooth as glass. The joint U.S.-Romanian team reached the first energy barrier on August 11, 2003. It was invisible. No equipment could penetrate it. It was pure energy. Three Romanian soldiers volunteered to test it. They were dead before they hit the ground. The American team was stalled. Their technology was useless. But Cesar Brad knew this wasn't a technology problem. He approached the barrier. The barrier was invisible to everyone except Cesar. He could see it, and it felt familiar, like it was waiting.
It was waiting for this part of the hero's journey, entering the cave. The next story beat is...
Stop giving away the story.
Fine! Sheesh, what a grouch.
When Cesar arrived at the tunnel, the American team tried to stop him. Three men had just died. But this was why Cesar existed, why he was taken from his parents, why he was trained all those years. Father Boca's prophecy wasn't about the discovery. It was about the discoverer. He raised his hand. The energy parted around him like water. He walked through, completely unharmed. On the other side, carved into the stone wall, was a simple triangle. Cesar touched it. The barrier vanished. Massive stone blocks, each weighing tons, rotated and shifted but didn't make a sound. The wall split apart, revealing an entrance 30 feet high. This led to a tunnel that stretched ahead for 90 feet, the Grand Gallery. The walls weren't stone. They were made of something synthetic and organic. The material glowed with its own light, soft blue-green that shifted like oil on water. The material couldn't be scratched or burned. At the end of the gallery, they found a second barrier. It was a wall of golden light. Through the shield, they could see a huge chamber, the chamber the U.S. spy satellite found. Then alarms sounded at the base. The Baghdad site had just activated, and it was projecting a hologram, an image of the Earth, that zoomed into Europe, then Romania, then the Bujej Mountains, then exactly at the location of the chamber. The sites were connected. The ancient technology, asleep for 50,000 years, was waking up. The Baghdad hologram flickered and went dark, but the message was clear. Whoever built these chambers was watching. The second energy barrier blocked the entrance to the main chamber. Cesar found another triangle carved into the wall. When he touched it, the shield dissolved like mist. The chamber beyond was a perfect dome, over 100 feet high and 300 feet wide. 10 massive stone tables were arranged inside, each shaped like a giant T. They were 10 feet tall, their surfaces polished to a mirror finish. Chazar touched the nearest table. A perfect three-dimensional hologram materialized above it. A DNA strand, but not human. It had triple helices.
Helixes.
What'd I say?
Touché.
The DNA structures rotated slowly, showing sequences completely unknown to science. Each of the 10 tables held a different secret, a library of the universe. One showed star maps, trade routes between alien civilizations spanning the galaxy. Another displayed mathematics beyond human understanding, the equations for the unified field theory. A third projected blueprints for machines that defied physics, ships that could fold space, devices that could harness zero-point energy. A fourth was a biological library, DNA from across the universe, creatures from methane atmospheres, life from worlds of pure silicon. But the fifth table was different. It was interactive, a genetic laboratory in holographic form. You could mix human genes with sequences from other worlds and see the results instantly, their strengths, their weaknesses, all theoretical, but all possible. At the center of the room was a podium with a device that looked organic, grown rather than built, a consciousness amplifier. Place your hand on it and your thoughts could control any system in the chamber. Near the podium, another console caught the American team's attention. When activated, it showed Romania from above. Topographical data appeared, water tables, geological layers. Then simulations began. Move this dial, the Danube changes course. Touch this control, tectonic plates shift. The machine could reshape the country or destroy it. But Chazar was drawn to an alcove in the far wall, which held an ancient ceramic amphora. Inside was a white powder.
Yeah, he found an alien potty stash.
It was monatomic gold.
Oh.
It pulsed with its own light. This was the substance of legends, the alchemist's dream. In this state, gold could repair DNA, reverse aging, extend life by centuries. This is what Messini really wanted. Not the technology, not the knowledge. He wanted the powder.
Yeah, that stuff will get its hooks into you.
Will you stop that? We have kids watching.
Oh, you're right, you're right. Hey, kids at home, don't do monatomic gold powder.
Thank you.
Stick with blow-ups.
That's enough. Chazar returned to examine the remaining tables. The eighth held astronomical data. Not just star positions, but the life cycle of civilizations, when they rose, when they fell. The ninth table showed energy, how it flowed through the universe, through planets, through living beings. The meridians the Chinese mapped were real. The chakras the Indians described were real. Ley lines were real. But the tenth table was the one that shocked everyone. It showed Earth, not geography or geology, history, human history, all of it. And it's not the human history we were taught in school. The 10th table showed a hologram of Earth 432,000 years ago. A specific alignment of six stars created an energy field around the planet. The focused cosmic radiation lasted 10,000 years. During that time, something changed in the DNA of primates in the Sinai Peninsula. A single carbon bond shifted and evolution accelerated. Then 372,000 years ago, the ships arrived. Not an invasion, a mission. The beings were 8 to 10 feet tall, humanoid, but different. Larger skulls, luminous skin. They came from the Sirius system in a massive spherical vessel. They needed gold to repair their planet's atmosphere.
Yeah. Anunnaki.
Exactly. The hologram showed that the Anunnaki story is true.
Yeah, I could have told you that without the death barrier and the magic alien powder. Though I'm down to try the powder.
The hologram showed their leader, Tenakau, studying the modified primates. He saw potential. Their DNA was compatible. They went to work. This wasn't random genetic tampering or experimentation. These were exact changes. They took DNA from the primates and blended it with their own. The first hybrids were created 368,000 years ago. They called the first one Adamu, Adam. Not a single man, a genetic template for a new species. The aliens created two distinct branches of development, the ENL branch and the ENK branch. The ENLs were heavily hybridized with alien DNA. Taller, softer features. They became the rulers, the teachers. In ancient texts, these beings were depicted as gods. The ENKs kept more original Earth DNA. They were shorter, stronger, more connected to the planet. They became the workers, the builders. These creatures would quickly spread across the world. For thousands of years, both branches coexisted. The ENL beings lived in advanced cities with lifespans measured in centuries. They had technologies that looked like magic, knowledge of the universe's deepest secrets. Then the hologram shifted to show a global civilization 50,000 years ago. There were cities that modern archaeology never found. A continent-sized landmass in the Atlantic, powered by crystal technology, connected to colonies around the world.
Do you mean
Atlantis?
Yeah, that's it!
Atlantis wasn't mythology. It was a central hub of ENL culture. Then came the wars. Different alien factions wanted control of Earth. The Syrians faced challenges from reptilian races who had their own vision for humanity.
Lizard people have excellent vision.
No, by vision I mean they had their own plan for humanity.
That makes more sense.
Battles were fought with weapons that could level mountains. The ENL civilization was caught in the middle. Then 13,500 years ago, the final catastrophe.
Remind your people what 13,500 years ago was.
The Younger Dryas.
Yeah, see.
The hologram showed Atlantis breaking apart. Not in a day, but over centuries. The ENL beings, seeing the end approaching, built preservation chambers like this chamber. These were time capsules, libraries to hold all the knowledge of history. Not just human history, all of history. A few survivors of Atlantis migrated to Egypt, Tibet, and South America, establishing new centers of knowledge. But most withdrew, not geographically, dimensionally. They shifted to a higher vibrational frequency, moving beyond physical Earth, what humans call Shambhala, the hollow Earth, different names for the same truth. Our ancestors didn't die out, they ascended. The ENK branch survived, but lost its connection to the stars. They forgot their origins. They started over, building new civilizations from fragments of memory. Egyptian pyramids, Sumerian tablets, Hindu texts, all were attempts to preserve the truth in symbols and stone. This story confirms the Anunnaki story, the Great Flood, and the resurrection of civilizations with the help from advanced beings. The hologram ended with present day, a critical moment. The cosmic cycle was completing. The same stellar alignment that began human evolution was returning. The chambers were activating. The knowledge was being revealed. Humanity was at a crossroads, evolution or extinction. From across the giant room, someone called out. They found something. The chamber wasn't a dead end, it was a hub. On another wall, there were three openings, each 20 feet high. Three paths, three destinations, three more secrets waiting in the dark. The three tunnels at the back of the projection room weren't just passages. They were highways to humanity's hidden history. The first led to Egypt, the second to Tibet. The third went straight down to the inner Earth. Each tunnel was massive, 20 feet high and perfectly circular. The same synthetic organic material lined the walls, glowing with that shifting blue-green light. The pattern was clear. This was a global network built 50,000 years ago. An infrastructure spanning the entire planet. The group opened a secure line between Bucharest and the White House. The Americans confirmed the Baghdad site was identical. Same energy signature, same holographic technology, same three tunnels. They planned a new expedition that Chazar Brad would lead, and the first destination would be the tunnel to Egypt. Now today I've only covered the Bujej Mountain discovery, but we have reports from what they found at each tunnel. Now if you want to see those stories, let me know. The third tunnel to inner Earth describes interaction with underground civilizations and reveals the true origin of the moon.
Alien spaceship run by lizard people. Link down in your drain pan.
After the discovery of the chamber, diplomatic negotiations moved fast between the United States and Romania, and a secret agreement was signed. The Bilderberg Group had members in both administrations. Chazar was free to explore anything he wanted. but all the monatomic gold was to be the property of the Bilderbergs.
Ah, this part of the hero's journey is called the road back and return with the elixir, which in this case is the alien go-go powder.
Enough with the hero's journey, please. The world's greatest secret and most powerful substance was now in the hands of a few men, and they'd do anything to keep it. 7 months later, Romania was admitted to NATO. Their application was denied for 20 years. Now it was suddenly fast-tracked. Because of these discoveries, Romania now had a seat at the table. But above the table, all countries answered to the Bilderberg Group, just as they always have. A secret chamber under the Bujej Mountains, a global network of ancient tunnels, and a shadow government desperate to control it all. We have psychic warfare, the Anunnaki, even Atlantis. This story has everything. But is it true? The story comes from a series of books by an author using the pseudonym Radu Sinemar. He claims to be a Romanian intelligence officer. The books are published as fiction, but Sinemar insists they're true, disguised as fiction for protection. But here's what we can verify. Romania was admitted to NATO on March 29, 2004, exactly 7 months after the alleged discovery. An application that had been denied for years was suddenly approved. The timing is suspicious. Father Boca was a real priest, revered in Romania. He was known for making prophecies, though he never mentioned underground chambers or energy barriers. The Bilderberg Group exists.
Yeah, obviously.
Members include heads of state, corporate CEOs, and media moguls. Their meetings are secret. No press allowed. No minutes published. Their stated goal is to foster dialogue between Europe and North America. Critics say they're planning a one-world government.
Critics? You mean people with brain cells?
I have a whole episode about them if you want to learn more.
Link down in your sanctum sanctorum.
Department Zero is harder to confirm, but the Romanian government has never denied the Bujej story. They never confirmed it either, just silence. The technology described sounds impossible, but plasma drilling is real. The Air Force has experimented with it for decades. Ground-penetrating radar exists. The U.S. military has satellites that can detect underground structures. Monatomic gold is also real. It's created when gold atoms are isolated from each other. Some researchers claim it has healing properties and can repair DNA. Others say it's pseudoscience. No scientific studies confirm life extension. The biggest problem is the whole story comes from a single source. Everything traces back to Radu Sinemar's books. No independent witnesses. No leaked documents. Unless you count the Iraqi connection. The books claim the 2003 invasion was partly motivated by an identical chamber near Baghdad. Now, we know the official reason for the war was false. We also know the U.S. military secured certain archaeological sites immediately after the invasion. The Baghdad Museum was looted while soldiers guarded undisclosed locations. And the looters were wearing black tactical gear, and they left all kinds of valuables behind. They were there for something else, other artifacts. Now, I've covered this in the Project Looking Glass episode.
Link down in your amphora of potty powder.
There's another problem. The books are published by Peter Moon. He and Preston Nichols wrote the Montauk Project series about time travel experiments on Long Island. And Moon claims he learned the story through a friend. Now, if you remember the episode I did on the Montauk Project, not only did I debunk a lot of it, I revealed a very dark side to Preston Nichols.
Link down in your nethers.
I couldn't debunk all of the Montauk Project, and I can't debunk all of this, but it has all the signs of a science fiction novel.
Are you saying this has all the classic earmarks of a disinformation campaign?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And yes, the story follows the hero's journey practically beat for beat.
Aha!
To me, this story and others like it are not about ancient chambers or alien technology. It's about who decides what we're allowed to know. About why archaeological discoveries require military intervention. About what else might be hidden under the pretense of national security. Did you know that a whole labyrinth of tunnels has been found under the pyramids and the Giza Plateau? Thousands of chambers. They were discovered in 2008 by the Mataha expedition. The tunnels match accounts by Herodotus, Pliny the Elder, and other ancient historians. The expedition published their findings and gave lectures about the tunnels. But they were ordered to stop talking about it by, wait for it, Zahiwas. He said this was for national security. And the team members said they were being threatened if they defied the order. Did you know? Only about 5% of Göbekli Tepe has been explored since 1995. That's 30 years ago. Nothing has been done in 30 years. Well, Some things have been done. Orchards have been planted over the site, so tree roots are damaging all kinds of stuff. It's been covered up by different materials. 1,200 feet of concrete walkways are installed on top of ancient structures. All kinds of damage is being done to the site with metal and rebar and concrete. If you want to learn more about this, go check out Jimmy Corsetti's videos on Bright Insight. He goes into the specifics, including how the World Economic Forum...
Illuminati!
Allegedly. Jimmy gets into all of it. He even went to Göbekli Tepe to see for himself. He has pictures and video of all the damage being done to the site. And after Jimmy released his videos, the Turkish government attacked him and demanded that he be sanctioned for making false claims. So, we have a possibly fictional story about the Bilderberg Group covering up a discovery. But we have two factual stories about archaeology being covered up and denied. And one of those includes the WEF, a group closely linked to Bilderberg. Powerful groups are seizing control of ancient sites. That's a fact. Something is going on. I just don't know what. Some believe that the powerful are doing more than seizing the sites. They're digging. They're looking for something. Or preparing for something. For what? We don't know. We won't ever know. The story of Giza, Göbekli Tepe, and even the Buzhej Mountains might be a warning that the next great discovery has already been made. And we're not invited. Thank you so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. My name is Hecklefish.
Salut, prietno, man.
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor. Subscribe, comment, like, share. That stuff, well, it used to help the channel. I don't know. The algorithm is weird these days. I'm not complaining. Like most topics we cover here, today's is recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see, go to thewyfiles.com/tips. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover on the channel, and I post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. It's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. I hope you check it out. Hit that like or the thumbs up or the however they do that. Those buttons are useful. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord. There are thousands of people on there 24/7. They're into the same weird stuff we talk about here. It's a great community. It's really supportive. It's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. And if you want to know what's going on with The Y-Files at any time, check out our production calendar that we try to update when we remember. It's at thewyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, all that stuff. And special thanks to our patrons who made this channel happen. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. Couldn't have done any of this without you. And if you'd like to support the channel, keep us going, and join this great community, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, access to merch only available to members, plus two private live streams every week just for you. And the whole Y-Files team is on the stream. You can turn your camera on, jump up on stage, ask a question, tell a joke, recommend a topic, talk about it, whatever you want to do. I think it's the best perk there is. You get to know us as people. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Yeah, I got you a heck of a t-shirt. Oh, one of these fistable coffee mugs. You can stick your Anunnaki fist in or whatever alien hybrid appendage you got hanging off your torso. Oh, grab a hoodie. Or set my face on it. Oh, get one of these YouTube spinny dolls. That's not creepy at all. Oh, squeaky, hecklish, talking animal, talking fish. Yeah.
But if you're going to buy merch, make sure you become a member on YouTube. YouTube members get 10% off everything in the Y-Files store forever.
Yeah, but keep that secret close to your gills, huh?
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
In Area 51, a secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. The crap got and got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film?
home set, were the shadow people there?
The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man,
I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the fishes. Hecklefish on Thursday nights with AJ too, and the solar storm still come to a god, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found.
We're in a simulation, don't you worry though.
The Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe